From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome, my fellow Frisbee-tarians, to the Disc Golf News for the week of August 23rd, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. So how's that world's afterglow working for you? I don't know about you. I still got the whole warm fuzzy thing going on here. Coming up this time, results from Madison, Wisconsin and the Mad City Open. Plus, Cary Berlauger has some thoughts on putting together a game plan and sticking to it in this week's 60-second click. We'll preview this weekend's upcoming Beaver State Fling in Portland, and we'll meet the guy they call Schwebby. He's North Carolina's Brian Schweber. He'll talk with us about discs, jump putting, and what it takes to be a touring disc golfer.
Save up some money first. If you don't have a good starting base as far as some backup cash, I would definitely tell them not to start until they get that first. At least $5,000 to $7,000 backup cash besides what they win every week.
It's PDGA Radio News, sponsored by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com, and we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Discraft. Find them at discraft.com.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
The average disc golfer's new secret weapon is the Flash Maximum Distance Driver. Available now from Discraft and your local disc golf retailer. The big guns were in Madison, Wisconsin last weekend at Vallarta Ast Disc Golf Course at Token Creek Park for the Mad City Open. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, where Billy Crump squandered much of an early lead, but he hangs on, wins this one by two over Rod Ripper Fritz and Don Loper. To the women, it's Leslie Herndon, and she's untouchable after a fast start and wins it by eight strokes over Illinois' Barrett White. Mandy Snodgrass taking third in this one. And to the Open Division, no surprise here, world champion Barry Schultz, 7-under, 7-under, 4-under. He's going to win this one by eight and pocket about $1,000 for his efforts. Second place is his protégés in Wisconsin, Keith Warren and Chris Heron. They are going to tie up for second. And there you go. The results as they are from the Mad City Open in Madison, Wisconsin. Time now for the 60-second clinic. Now, a lot of us, when we go to tournaments, we think, yeah, gee, I hope I shoot my best this weekend, blah, blah, blah. But we don't actually go in with a game plan. Well, in the clinic this week, professional disc golfer Cary Berlauger tells us how her game plan comes together and how she executes.
Okay, my game plan is to make sure that I start with a good warm-up in the morning, going through a physical routine of stretching and exercising, and then setting goals for myself for the course. If I can be bogey-free, then that's a goal, you know, to make sure that I go through all of my visualization with my putting and my routine with my drive and my putting, and just make sure I stick to the game plan and to be aggressive when you need to, but negotiate the risk-reward. If I fall out of the game plan, then I just reset another goal for the round and be like, okay, that was a bad hole. I need to move on. I need to birdie the next one. You know, there's plenty of birdie holes out here. So just keep focused, and dig deep mentally. A positive attitude is helpful when you approach the course each day, because you want to be there to be playing golf for the sake of playing golf, for the love of the game, and for the fun of it. And if you walk onto the course and you don't like the course, you don't like a hole, you don't like who you're playing with, then that inevitably you're not going to play the best golf you can play.
California's Cary Berlauger, also known as Burl, tied for third place at the Worlds this year. She was four strokes out of first place. Coming up, we meet Brian Schweberger.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
Hi, this is Brad Hammock, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News, baby. Loving it.
In the big picture this week, some guys you root for just because they have mad skills, but other guys you root for because they're really just super nice guys who also happen to have mad skills. Guys like Mike Randolph or Timmy Gill or Barry Schultz or our guest this week, North Carolina's Brian Schweberger. Now, Schwebby's been on the road for the past 3 years, and at Worlds this year, his best finish ever, third place, a scant 13 strokes behind world champion Barry Schultz. At Worlds in Des Moines this year, we had a chance to sit down and talk disc golf with Brian Schweberger. Brian Schweberger, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in disc golf?
Well, I started in 1997. A friend of mine introduced me to the sport. We worked together, and he said, well, we played a lot of ball golf together, and he said, well, I'm going to take you out to a different type of game. It's called frisbee golf, also called disc golf. And we went out, played around. He beat me the first round, and he's never beaten me since.
So you were that good that fast? Is that what you're saying?
No, but he had been playing for 10 years, but he played casually like most recreational golfers, and off and on he played, and I pick up most things fast as far as sports go, and I just ended up picking it up real fast.
And when did you turn pro?
After 98 AM Worlds, I went pro and played a couple of pro events, and then I was full-time in 99.
And what made you decide to become a touring pro?
I had a bunch of friends that were doing it, and they stayed at my house when they were on tour, and I thought my game was good enough where I could be able to compete and to be able to make enough money to keep the ability to keep my game getting better and better, just like theirs was, and that's where I wanted to take it. So I got a couple of friends together, and we went out.
And tell me about it. Give me, who's in the crew? Have the members changed? How long you been out there? Give me the whole story.
The members have never changed. We got Brian McCree. Me and my friend Dave Mansfield, we all three of us lived together before we went out on tour, and me and Brian decided to go out on tour, and another friend of ours, Billy Crump, he's from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he showed a lot of interest, and he had a lot of good ideas about possibly getting a sponsorship while we're on the road, so he was a good addition to our crew, and we just decided to call ourselves the Carolina Crew.
And that was what year?
That was in 2002.
So you have got almost three full seasons now of touring. As you look back on that, what are your thoughts?
I wouldn't change a thing. The first year was absolutely amazing, having Disc TV out there. It was a great, it was a great boost to have the influence of them out there and the possibility of being on national television every week. I think it really inspired me to play a little better, and I got on a bunch of episodes and had a great time.
If someone is coming up through the ranks and they're thinking about becoming a touring disc golfer, what advice would you have for them?
Save up some money first. If you don't have a good starting base as far as some backup cash, I would definitely tell them not to start until they get that first. At least $5,000 to $7,000 backup cash besides what they win every week.
Now, when you say backup cash, do you mean cash that's going to help them get from place to place to place, or is this emergency cash?
Yeah, this is emergency money. Okay. I mean, if your game is good enough where you can cash every weekend, you should be able to pay for your own gas, pay for your food, and your next tournament's entry fee. So definitely just backup in case you don't cash, you have a breakdown with your vehicle, you got to have that extra backup.
Have you got a rough guesstimate on what your annual costs are for touring?
Let's see. I would say probably around $3,000 for gas, and $6,000-$7,000 for food, $5,000 for entry fees. So I mean, it's definitely a break even or a loss pretty much every year. But if you have a few good tournaments, you can put some money away and just go on over the off season and wait until the next season comes.
Now you tour with two other guys, Brian and Billy. Do you guys, when say, you know, one guy cashes one week and the other guys don't, do you just pool your money together, or how does that work?
No, we do not pool our money. Mm-hmm. If one of us needs some cash, if we're in a slump or something, we just help them out, mm-hmm. and they can get the money back to us whenever they can. I mean, we're trying to keep it as stress-free as possible.
Oh, and Brian Schweberger has just been hit by a mini from across
the room. As I take a mini
room
to the face.
All right, well, we'll resume.
That was good.
Brian, you've been playing now for a long time. You've been touring for almost 3 years. What's the one disc golf story you tell again and again?
Wow.
One of those memorable moments that you just, every time you think, you just crack up laughing or whatever the case may be.
I would say our trip to Northern California, went to visit a friend of ours, Mike Belchick, after the Tahoe Open. And we went and hung out at his house for 3 days. And we went rafting down the Trinity River. And at the very end of the trip down the Trinity River rafting, almost everybody flipped in one of the worst rapids there, and Billy almost drowned, and Alex God of Chunder from Humboldt County, he saved Billy's life. He pushed him out of the rapid and got him up to safety. Worm Mike Young almost drowned, and Carlo Pelleg almost drowned. So we all dodged a bullet there. And we are very thankful to still have them all there. So that was something we always tell everybody. And we said, we're all still here, and it's a great golf family, and we still have fun every time we go out, wherever we go out.
What's in your bag right now? What are you throwing, and why?
Well, I have quite an obscene amount of discs in my bag for one of the touring players, I would say.
Let me guess. 25.
No, I have 22 discs.
Okay, see, that's not so obscene.
And I've cut down. When I started on tour, I had 28 discs in my bag. But I have, I'm mainly throwing, for my drivers, I'm throwing Firebirds and the new Orc. The Orc has just revolutionized my distance. It added 50 feet to my distance the first time I threw it. And I'm throwing CE Sharks for my stable mid-range, and regular DX Rocks and DX Sharks for all the other type shots. And big beat AVRs for my putting.
Give me your top three courses.
That's
Or three of your top. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, number one of all is hopefully going to be playing it here pretty soon at the Mad City Open is Token Creek. It's absolutely gorgeous manicured course. It's a pay-to-play, $4 a day or $40 a year. They take absolute great care of the course. It's got three different pin placements for every hole, two sets of concrete tee pads for every hole, and the money that goes towards the greens fees goes towards course maintenance and hopefully another new nine holes coming up next year. Number two is Warwick Park in New York.
Of the Animal Fest.
Yes, home of the Animal Fest and New York State's, and hopefully it's going to be a national tour next year. It's got 36 baskets out there, and actually, no, they put in a new nine. There's a new Wolf Nine Woods in the woods out on the south end of the course, and they have 36 baskets for the original 18 and two sets of tee pads for the original 18, and you can play four different courses at any time you want to go and play. It's absolutely gorgeous there. A lot of elevation, a lot of distance, requires all grades of shots. And I'd say my third favorite course is my home course, Zebulon, North Carolina. Taught me how to throw every shot in the game. It improved my game to where I could go out on tour and do this for a living. Can't say anything more about it. It's just awesome.
What disc golfer, who do you most admire?
Probably Al Shaq. He's got the great mental game, never loses his cool when he's playing. I could definitely say I gauge my game against his and my head game definitely against his, because he's always calm, he's always cool, and hopefully everybody thinks that of me.
What PDGA rule drives you nuts?
The jump putt.
Why?
Because everybody's so worried about it. I wish they'd just take it away and don't worry about it. Let somebody jump putt from wherever they want to jump putt from. If they want to jump putt from 10 feet, let them jump putt. I mean, I just don't agree with it. It's just, we don't have to go into it anymore than that.
Somebody has to sometime, Brian.
Yeah, no, it's being discussed as we speak. I mean, everybody's talking about it. So.
Mm-hmm. How many aces you got?
I have 29 aces. Been stuck on it for about 4 months now.
And what's your longest?
Let's see. Wow. It's not that long. It's only around 325 feet. I don't have a real long ace yet.
And last question, what's your dream foursome? If you could pick anybody to go out and shoot around with at one of your favorite courses, who'd be in there?
I'd say Kenny, Barry, and the owner of Nike.
Because?
So he can see what he's missing out on, and he could possibly get some money into our sport and maybe make some discs. That's where the sport needs to go, so maybe I can do this for the rest of my life.
We've been talking with North Carolina's Brian Schwamberger, who finished third at the Worlds this year. We talked to him at the Host Hotel in Des Moines. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. The hot ticket this weekend is Go West, young disc golfer. The Super Tour this weekend is brand new. It's in Portland, Oregon. It's called the Beaver State Fling. The tournament director for this one is Teresa Bellinger.
This is the third year the PDGA has allowed us to have sanctioning for the Beaver State Fling. It's third year in existence. The first year, we threw it together in about 3 weeks, and it was a C tier. Last year it was a B tier, and this year is Oregon's very first A-tier Super Tour ever.
Now, Teresa, since this is the first year that the Beaver State is a Super Tour event, I'm assuming you will be getting a lot of players who will be there for the first time. So tell us what kind of course challenges those players can expect.
Well, the Portland Rocks have put hours and hours and hours, like hundreds and thousands of, I think, man hours into renovating the Milo MacGyver State Park disc golf course. We're actually going to have two 18-hole courses in that park for this event. It's so much different than it used to be. We've got, I think, an over 1,000-foot hole that will be used in the final nine, a lot of new tight holes up in the trees, and a lot more challenging longer holes out in the more open areas. So it's a really, really challenging course, both of the courses in that park. The Dabney State Park remains as it has been for a long time. It's a good combination of really tight wooded holes and some more open holes with their own challenges. So I think it'll be a really fun event.
And what is it about this year that has you most excited about the event?
Yes, for the Beaver State Fling, we've never had a pro women category. So we will have one for this event, and I'm very excited about it. Carrie Burl Burlogger's coming, Valerie Jenkins, Ruth Steele, some locals, Jody Turmel, Ellen Holub, and world champion juniors girls 19 and under Valerie Miller will be playing, and also a late entry just the other day was Courtney Peavy.
Teresa Bellinger is the tournament director for this weekend's Beaver State Fling in Portland, Oregon. We spoke to her at her office in Vancouver, Washington. You know, you really should try to make it to Portland this weekend, because I know you'd have a great time. But if you cannot be there this weekend, August 28th and 29th, here are some other options. Eastside Pros, you're headed to the North Carolina States in Raleigh, and AMs on the West Coast can head to the Sierra Shootout in Grass Valley, California. Plus, in Cincinnati, it's the Flying Pig Open and the Georgia State Championships in Tacoka. In Massachusetts, it's the Marshall Street Championship this weekend and the Monsoon Madness Tournament in Tucson. Outlaw Single Shootout in Round Rock, plus the Pawnee Gulch Classic in Leadville, Rochester, Flying to Scoban in New York, and the Tally Open in Helsinki. Alaska State Championships in Anchorage this weekend, plus in California, it's the Mountain High, that's Wrightwood. Maple City, Michigan, it's the Northern Water Series number 6, and the Overstable.com Open in Birmingham. More info, PDGA.com. And finally this week, a fun fact to know and tell as we bask in the warm afterglow of the terrific World Championships in Des Moines this year. And the fun fact is this. In 2003, there were a total of 241 Iowa disc golfers who were PDGA members, or at least current members, and at that same time, there were 81 courses, or well over 1,200 disc golf holes in the state, leaving approximately 5 holes for every single Iowa PDGA member. You have lots of room to spread out, folks. And again, great job, everyone in Des Moines, and that is going to do it for the disc golf news for the week of August 23. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World at dtworld.com and Discraft at discraft.com. If you have suggestions, story ideas, whatever, send them along. We always love to hear from you at PDGA Radio at pdga.com. And until next time, stay out of the shul and keep them in the fairways.